All right. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me. Chosen by God. Boy, that's something I like to seal on my life. Stamped. You are chosen. Hey, wait a minute. Somebody says, oh, I'm called. God called me. God called me. God called me. I hear that everywhere. God called me to preach. God called me to do this. God called me to do something else. Yeah, but you got to remember them warnings that the Lord put along the way, like Matthew 22:14. Many are called, but few are chosen. Let me give you some more on that as we go along here. But this 16th verse of John 15 is a real revelation. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you. For what? That you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. You want God to answer your prayers? You want God to bless you and hear you when you're in a scrape, when you're in trouble, when you're in need, when you have a temptation or a problem that you can't make it and you need help? All right, how are you going to get help? All right, he said, if I've chosen you, then you go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit may remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. He's not going to give you everything unless you keep his commandments and bring forth fruit. What are those fruit? You ought to memorize them. Maybe most of you do. In Galatians, the 5th chapter, verses 19 through 20. No, wait a minute now. 22 and 23, 19 through 21 are the other fruit, the works of the flesh. Verses 22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Now see, if you go bear those fruit, the Lord says, I've chosen you to bear those fruit so that when you pray and you ask something, I can give it to you. I don't mind you having it because you're going to use it properly and to my glory. I'm glad to give it to you. Why don't we receive? Why, when you pray, you don't receive? That's the opposite. James 4:3. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust or your own lust. You don't get it. My Lord, how about the Christians always are whining and don't get nothing except just what the ordinary people get? I know God's sun shines on the good and on the evil, and his rain rains on the just and on the unjust, and that's just about what the average Christian almost lives with. Just the simple blessings of the Lord that he puts upon everybody alike. My, we've got to go far beyond that. Verse 17 again, these things I command you, that ye love one another. I command you. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, listen to this. See, when God calls you and chooses you, he chooses you out of the world. And if you don't come out of the world, he rejects you. You stay in the world, you're rejected. You live like the world. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Them people out here that don't want to live like Jesus said to live, they don't like you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Remember it. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. They don't know the Father. So therefore, they don't know me, and they don't know you. Let me tell you something, young folks. You're here this morning. Well, it's already afternoon by 2 minutes. This afternoon, you're here because God chose you. God chose you. Now, that's something. God chose me. Lord, have mercy. Jesus didn't even choose you. The Father chose you. And he sent you to Jesus. He drew you. Now, you want me to prove that? Turn over here a bit in the 6th chapter of the book of John, verse 37. Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." You can't come except the Father draw you to Jesus. He's the one that makes the choice. It's funny when you get to think about that peculiar situation. You didn't really make the choice. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love him because," why? "He first loved you," or us. See? You got to remember, if God calls you, you better look up and thank him all through the day. "Lord, I'm glad you chose me." Now, there's a reason for it we'll get to. There's a reason for God choosing you. All right, verse 44, John 6 also has something to say about it. Jesus said again, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." You can't come to the Lord unless the Father chooses you and brings you to Jesus, sends you to him, draws you to him. See, the Father is really in Christ drawing us to Christ. And you know who's in us drawing us to Christ? The Holy Ghost is in us, drawing men to Christ. Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Praise God. It's the Lord in us that draws men and women and young people to the Lord. That's why the Lord says, "I want you to bear fruit. I want your example to be right. I want your example to be holy. I want your example to be as near like me as is humanly possible for a young man or woman to be like Jesus. That's what I'm going to make you to be like, so you can draw others to me by your example, your magnetism, with that wonderful, holy lifestyle that reflects the image of him that called you into this glory. Now, the Lord called you. You didn't choose him. He chose you. In John 5 and verse 30, another scripture on the same order, he said, "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." See, Jesus is a type of the Christian that we're to emulate his example and lifestyle. You're not to look at some old stumbling, bumbling Christian out here that professes to love God and have all the faith in the world, and they stumble around and alibi for failure all the time, and they live a borderline life in the Lord, if any at all. You're not to look at those people. The Bible said in Psalm 37:37, "Mark the perfect man and behold the upright man, for the end of that man is peace." That's what you're searching for, is peace with God. And if you want to walk in peace, you let the man that's walking with God be your example. Lord have mercy. Don't emulate the lifestyle of some old bumbling failure of a Christian. Somebody that's always in trouble. Somebody that's always yelling and squalling for prayer. Ain't nothing wrong with asking for prayer, but you're not supposed to be in trouble all the time. God have mercy sakes. We're supposed to be the one that's lifting somebody else up. How are you going to lift anybody when you're down there lowering his? That's the way most Christians live. They're always trying to help somebody, and they down there about 3 stories below you. They need an elevator to get up to you. Don't be that kind of a Christian, boys and girls. Don't look at them and stumble around and get your eyes on them. See, if you look at them, you'll stumble too. Mark the perfect man. And that's not a fellow that brags about it. It's a fellow that's walking with God, tending to God's business, realizing the fact that he's been called and chosen. He's not proud of it, but he's thankful for it every minute of the day. He's not arrogant in that relationship with God, but he's humbly walking with God, for he knows the word. He has showed thee, old man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God.